Good morning. Can you hear us? It's a little bit awkward because we're used to walking around and interacting, and it's being recorded, so we're going to stay put for the benefit of those that aren't here. My name is Gabe LaBella. Our biographies are in the section of your book. It's the first section, and welcome. Kelly?
I'm Kelly Darr. I'm a staff attorney at the Disability Rights Network.
Hi, I'm Rachel Reimert, and I am from the Pennsylvania Youth Leadership Network, and I'm basically a youth just like you guys.
So this is the session on transition for students in public schools, in public high schools, that we're going to be talking about today. And Gabe and I are going to present, and then Rachel's going to tell us a little bit about her experience and a very interesting organization that she's part of right now. At the beginning, we have some announcements that we want to make about assignments that we all have to do before we leave here today. First off, people here at this training should have received any alternative formats for the materials that you requested, and please let one of the staff people in the room know if you didn't get what you requested, and if anybody needs any additional alternative formats for any of the materials, just let us know afterward, and we can arrange to have those prepared for you. And as Gabe said, the workshop is being audio recorded, so it'll be available after the conference as well. There's a workshop survey in your binder that you have in front of you. We're going to take the last 10 minutes, so at about 11:35, we're going to hopefully stop giving the formal presentation at that point and allow people some time to fill out the evaluation, the survey that's in the binder. And I hope what we can do is, while everyone is filling that out, if people still have questions that they want to ask us, we'll still answer questions from everybody at that time while you're filling out the survey. For the youth and young adults, please at least fill out the information indicating whether you are a Social Security beneficiary or not. The Social Security Administration, which is funding this conference, is asking everyone to fill that information out so that they can find out who was here at the conference today. And at the end, please hand it into the DRN staff person, even if you don't fill out the whole form, because it's the way for us to know how many people were here. So even if you don't feel like filling out the whole survey, at least fill out what you can and then give it to a DRN staff person. The staff people who are here in the room would be happy to help anyone if you have any questions with that or need any assistance to fill that out. We are going to allow for questions as we go along. And again, at the end, if people have questions, we'll answer them at that time. And there are people in the room that have microphones. So if you have a question, if you can raise your hand, someone will come to you so that we can get your question on the audio recording, and also so that everyone in the room can hear the question as well.
Great.
And I think Gabe is going to start.
Okay. Thanks. I didn't mention earlier, I already forgot one thing. I am Gabe LaBella, and I am a staff attorney at the Disability Rights Network. And if you ever need to get in touch with us, you have our info. I'm going to explain to you just a few minutes about the tool A that's in your toolkit. We put together a bunch of materials that we thought would be really helpful to you in planning transition, secondary transition. We don't have a lot of time today. We're only here till 11:45, so it's important that you're aware that you have the materials and they're going to be really helpful to you, we hope. We gave you Toolkit A, which is the law that really guides everything we're going to talk about. One explained that we gave you the IDEA regulations, right? The IDEA is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and that's the federal law that protects the rights of kids with disabilities. We then gave you Pennsylvania Chapter 14, and I just want to explain, I know there are a lot of students here, right? When you have a federal law, states have to write regulations on how they're going to carry out the federal law. in Pennsylvania. That's Chapter 14. I'll give you a lesson in civics. Federal law is really the floor, not the ceiling. So states have to give you at least what the federal law requires, but they can give you more. And Pennsylvania does in some areas, and we'll talk about that as we go on. But you have the law that's necessary for you to make some transition decisions. We also gave you a basic education circular, BEC. Many of you probably know what BECs are, but for those of you who don't, the Pennsylvania Department of Education, and you could go on their website, they issued what are called basic education circulars. And what that is it's policy guidance around questions that relate to Chapter 14 and other education laws. And it has the same weight as law in Pennsylvania. Okay, so we gave you the one on voter registration as part of transition because we thought it was relevant. There are many BECs on the Pennsylvania Department of Ed's website that you can access yourself to. I won't take up any more time. Kelly is going to begin the presentation.
So Gabe gave a little bit of a background about the laws that are out there, and they're in your toolkits if you want to take a look at the specific language in the law for what rights are provided to students with disabilities in their public schools around transition. So let's talk a little bit about what those rights are and what that means for students with disabilities who are getting ready or are thinking about what they're going to do once they graduate from high school. Public school districts are required to provide students who are eligible for services under an IEP, they're required to provide transition services. And transition services must be provided to help students with disabilities while they are in school, and a lot of it occurs while the student is in high school, to prepare for life after they graduate, for anything from going to college, going to vocational training, other kinds of job training, for full or part-time employment, for independent living, really whatever the goal is for the student after high school, transition services should be part of the student's IEP. For those of you who are familiar with the IEP process and have been to IEP meetings for development of either your child's IEP or your own IEP for the students who are here in the room, basically the process is, and this is probably familiar hopefully to you, is that the school district does an evaluation, and that's the point where the team, the IEP team, is trying to gather information about the student, find out what the student's needs are, and the way that the team can go about trying to address those needs through the IEP. And if you see over on the board, I tried to write up kind of what the basic process is for development of the IEP. First, the evaluation, and then based on that evaluation, the team gets together and works on developing goals for the student across all areas. So you might have some goals in reading, you have some goals in math, maybe you have some goals around behavior issues, whatever it is, whatever the kid's needs are, there should be goals in the IEP, and those goals should be based on the evaluation. And then once the team develops those goals, the team then says, okay, what do we need to provide to the student to enable them to reach those goals? What kinds of supports and services are needed to be included in the IEP? And those are things like specially designed instruction, maybe related services like speech therapy or occupational therapy, supports to the teachers. Maybe the teacher needs some training to be provided, things along those lines. So that's kind of the way that IEP development should happen all the way throughout school. Evaluation, development of goals, and then figuring out what supports and services the student needs. It used to be a few years ago that transition planning for students with disabilities in their IEP was really not very formalized. It was a tiny little area on the IEP. I don't think teams spent a lot of time really talking about transition for kids with disabilities. A few years ago, Congress changed the IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, to include a lot more law around the issue of transition for students with disabilities. So now there's a lot more requirements on what the IEP team really has to do, what they have to put in the IEP, and what schools have to provide for students to really plan for transition. So now, under the IDEA, transition planning follows that same kind of basic model for how IEP teams sit down to develop an appropriate program for a student. And that is that students are entitled to have first transition assessments, which are really like the evaluations, right? You're finding out what a student needs, what the strengths are, and trying to figure out what does that student need to have a successful transition? What should the goal be for transition for a student? All of those things are part of transition assessments. So their students are entitled to have transition assessments done by their school districts, and then the team should sit down and, based on those assessments, should write transition goals for the student. What is the student going to work on while that student is in school to help them to better prepare for life after high school? And then finally, the team says, okay, based on the transition assessments we have, we put together transition goals, and then we're going to look at what services should the school district provide in order to so that student can meet those goals and have a successful transition from high school. And those are called transition services. So when you look at your IEP or you're participating in your IEP meeting, the team should go through all of those steps. And the details of that transition plan should be written down in your IEP. And I think if it's not, you should ask for an IEP meeting with your school to sit down and go through those steps to make sure that you have a good plan in your IEP. So I'm going to talk just for a couple more minutes about each one of those steps to just give you a little bit more detail of the kinds of things that you should be looking for as you go through this process. First, transition assessments. So when do transition assessments start? The federal law, the IDEA, says that no later than the first IEP that is in effect when the student turns 16, the team should have transition goals in the IEP. So that's the federal standard. That's the floor that Gabe was talking about a minute ago. In Pennsylvania, we're very lucky because we have a state regulation in Chapter 14 that actually says that time for transition planning to start is actually age 14. So that at the time the student is 14, there should be a transition plan that includes transition goals in the IEP, starting at age 14. So I always think if by age 14 the team should be prepared to write transition goals, then transition assessments should start even before then, because you're going to need some time for the school district to do those transition assessments. So it really even needs to start, if appropriate, for a child before the age of 14, so that the team is ready, to go at age 14 with developing those goals. So that gives you a little sense of the timeline. The IDEA also requires that transition assessments be age appropriate. And to me, what that means is, particularly in the area of transition, what a student wants to do or their idea of their goals for themselves after high school may change as they get older. Their idea of what they want to do at age 14 might be different than what it is at age 17. So that the team may decide that there is reason to do different kinds of transition assessments as time goes on for the student to fine-tune that information so that the goals and the transition plan can be appropriate for the student as the student gets closer and closer to the time that they'll be leaving high school. If you look in tool C and D in your toolkit, and you don't need to, you can turn there now if you want to. I'm not going to go over it in great detail because you have it to take with you. Just some more information about what kinds of vocational assessments there are out there, the kinds of things that assessments can look at, as well as the kinds of information that the team should get from transition assessments. Everything from you know, what particular skills a student has, what their worker style is, like do they like to be around people or do they not, do they like to work with their hands or do they not. All of that kind of information is important for developing good goals for the student, what makes sense for the student. And I think really, unlike a lot of areas in the development of an IEP, what the student wants to do is of particular importance in transition planning. And in fact, students really there are you know, always have the right to be at their IEP meetings, but I think the school district has an obligation to try to engage the student in their IEP planning at the point when transition planning occurs, because it is, there's a lot of research out there about transition planning for students, and it's very important that the student's interests and what the student wants to do is part of the assessment and is part of the development of goals. Because, you know, this is basically planning for the student's life after school, and that they're a very important part of that process. Also in the book, we have a question.
I think I can talk loud enough. I have a question as far as the assessment.
I'm not sure if it'll... It's okay. I think it has to be for it to be on the audio recording. Sorry. So we just take a minute to get the microphone over there. While she's walking, I'm just going to say that in Tool F, there's a sample letter for requesting a transition assessment, just like if you want to request an evaluation for your student from the school district. You know, you may have done that in the past to get a special ed evaluation, that you can write a letter to your school district to request a transition assessment. So if you're getting to the time where you think it's time to start the assessment process, go ahead and send in that letter and say, you know, here are the things that we're thinking about as far as transition, and I want an assessment to be done. And also, I think if you've already maybe had an assessment initially and you think it would be a good idea to have another assessment to maybe, like, look at a different area, you can send a letter in to ask the school district to do that. And there's a sample letter in your pack that will hopefully help you to do that. So the question, please.
My question's concerning assessments. Uh-huh. And I've often been told that a vocational assessment is the type of assessment that must be performed. And my question is, if a person-centered planning tool is also an appropriate assessment for transition?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what the person is telling you, a vocational assessment. I'm not really sure what they mean by that. That term does not have particular meaning to me as far as at least what the law says about transition assessments. I think that if it is a tool that could be used, that could give helpful information to the team about how to develop appropriate transition goals, I can't see why it couldn't be part of the transition assessments. I mean, there are some formal tools that districts can use to test students around the issue of vocation or transition, and they may want to use those tools, and I think that's fine, but I think to get a good picture of a student for transition, it has to include many different types of assessments and many different types of assessments over time. Anything as simple as like observation of the student. Maybe the student has a job after school and the school could come in to observe to see how does the student do, does the student need supports, those kinds of things. So I would think any kind of a, you know, it doesn't need to be a formal tool to be appropriate for this process.
I want to mention one thing. When you're making a request for an assessment, what Kelly mentioned, there's a sample letter. Just want to remind you, right, that all of these requests should be in writing, and that if you agree to these additional assessments at a previous IEP meeting, that it's noted on the NOREP or in the IEP that these assessments are going to be done. There is no timeline in particular in the IDA or in Chapter 14 around assessments, and we get calls with that question. So I want to mention to you that we use the same theory as an evaluation, 60 days, okay? So you write an assessment, keep a copy. You know, you may even want to follow up with your district and ask them if they need permission to evaluate. You know, that's up to them. But keep in mind that it should be done within 60 days. Okay? Go ahead, Kelly.
Great. A little bit about transition assessments, and I know you can look at your materials. It's a big topic, the issue of assessments. We also have a question over here. While you're coming over to her, I'll start our next topic. So the student, let's say this team has gotten together, done some great transition assessments. The team has a lot of good information about the student. The next thing to do would be develop transition goals. And the law requires that those goals be measurable, just like all the other goals in an IEP. And what that basically means is they have to be written in a way that the team can figure out whether the student is actually making progress on those goals. And I think this is one thing to think about transition, is that the goal for transition, let's say you have an IEP and the goal for transition is the student will get full-time employment after high school. That can't be the only goal in the IEP, because that's not really about what's going to happen now for the student. That's not going to happen until after the child leaves the public school system and goes out into the world and gets a job. So that's fine to state that as the ultimate goal in the IEP, but the goals should really be things that the district and the student are going to work on now while the student is in school. Steps that are going to be made towards reaching that ultimate goal of going to college, of going to full-time employment, or transitioning to independent living, whatever it is, there should be steps in the IEP towards reaching those goals, and those steps are the goals in the IEP. So they need to be measurable, so that the school and the family can see whether the student is making progress towards those goals. And one thing I would think about is think broadly about what those goals should be. Maybe the student is experiencing behavior issues that may be a barrier to being successful in transition. Then make that part of the transition plan. There's nothing that says that the goals need to necessarily be tied to vocational training or things along those lines. It's really, what does the student need to be successful once they leave the public school system and to reach that goal, whatever it is? That's what should be part of the goals. I think one thing somebody said to me at one point along the way in talking about transition, that high schools don't focus in just the general curriculum on literacy in high school a lot. There's kind of this assumption that kids know how to read by the time they get to high school, and we know that that's factually not correct, that there are students who still need help around literacy issues in high school. So that would be one thing to say. If literacy would be important to achieving whatever the long-term goal is for the student, then, make sure there are goals in the IEP around the issue of literacy. And I just kept talking and I forgot about your question. Please go ahead.
When I have my IEPs with my parents, the teachers are supposed to tell you about that you're going to have an IEP and to hear what you have to say about it before you have the big meeting. Well, the school I go to, they don't do that at all.
Right. And I don't know if they – I think any time that you wanted to talk to anybody before the IEP meeting about issues, I mean, you absolutely could do that. Whether the school district has to do that with you before each meeting, I'm not sure. But I'll tell you one thing that they do have to do, and that is when it comes time to do transition planning and when they're doing a transition assessment, that they absolutely have to get information from you about what you want to do for transition. Absolutely. That's, I think, a legal requirement that they have, particularly around transition, because the input from the student is, like I said, of particular importance on this issue for the IEP. And I think if you're not, you can go to them and tell them that, you have some ideas about what you want to do with your life and you want to be heard on that. One thing that you might do in your toolkit, and we are going to talk about this in a minute, but I'll just bring it up right now, it's Tool E, and it's a student self-assessment. It's a couple pages long, and it just asks some questions, and it's designed for a student to fill out. And it just says, it asks questions trying to get at, like, what kinds of things do you like to do? What don't you like to do? What are your favorite subjects in school? What do you see yourself doing in the future? And it's a series of questions to try to get information out from the student about what they see, what they want from transition. you could take that form, fill it out, and give it to your IEP team. So even if they're not asking for your input, you can give it to them. Okay, I need to hurry because we're behind.
I think so.
So the last thing, I love transition, and it's hard to only spend half an hour talking about it. So the last thing is, so once the team has put together goals, the last thing is to look at transition services. And that's really, that's where the beef is, right? Because the it's great to have goals that say student will do X, but if there's nothing in the IEP that says what will be provided to the student to help the student reach those goals, then it's not worth a whole lot. So transition services, the law says, can include instruction, related services, community experience, and development of employment and adult living experiences. That's what the law says. I look at transition services just like any services you're providing in the IEP. What does the student need, and what does the district need to provide in terms of accommodations, training, extra services brought in, helping to get a job, whatever it is, that it should be in the IEP as part of transition services. Okay, I'm going to stop. We have in tool H, if everybody wants to turn in their book, if you can find that, we have an example of a transition plan.
I was thinking while this was happening, since we only have 15 minutes left, and part of that is going to have to be for you to fill out your evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what we would do, if you go to Toolkit H in your book, we're not going to have time.
We can read it. Do you think we can go through? You think?
I don't think, but we could try.
Let's try.
Okay. Well, here's the thing.
And then people can ask questions as we...
That's fine. Yeah, I just want to make sure we cover. At some point, we may not read you the actual fact pattern, and talk to you about the issues we want to mention. For example, this is about a young woman, right? She's 20 years old. She has mild cognitive disabilities, mild hearing impairment, has a transition goal of full-time employment upon graduation this year. Marcia has a one-year-old child. Marcia's transition planning team includes her family, the vocational educator, special educator, vocational rehabilitation counselors, mental retardation caseworker, hearing specialist, social worker, and occupational therapist. So what we want you to look at that fact pattern and realize, as Kelly talked about a little earlier, that when a student says, my goal is to have full-time employment when I graduate, obviously, that's not the goals we're talking about as part of the IEP, right? That's what the student wants. That's what's going to guide how are we going to get there, okay? And how we're going to get there are the goals that you want to work closely with the IEP team around developing. So I won't give you a lot of examples, but Kelly gave you some earlier, and it is important, whether the goal is a student wants to go to college, wants to work, you have to look at what this child, this young person needs to get there. Whether it's academic skills, whether it's vocational type skills, whether it's occupational therapy, whether it's speech. It could be a variety of things. Everything's open to you. And I also want to mention that don't view transition as a separate process from what you do every year when you have an IEP meeting. When Kelly said, you might want to think about this stuff before the child is 14, it's totally appropriate every time you're at an IEP meeting and designing the educational program for this young person to think about what the needs are relative to what they're going to do when they exit the system, whether at 18, 19, 20, or 21. That should always be in your mind. So regardless of how old, you may want to do certain assessments at different times, and you should feel free to ask, because don't ever forget the individualized part of that IEP, okay? So whether they tell you we don't do that or that's not our practice, it's about what this individualized plan needs to have, and if the district refuses, as you have the right to exercise your procedural rights, okay, right, and go to the next level. okay, let the district know they don't have the last word on this, that you could disagree and do what you need to do. And you can always call DRN for guidance, by the way, because we have a helpline that can guide you through that. Okay, so the other thing that's important is who goes to the IEP meeting when you are going to discuss transition, because you'll know that ahead of time. And you really have to be assertive at including everyone that's involved with your child. There are lots of systems working with you, not just the educational system. And although the school district, you know, should invite OBR, we know that sometimes doesn't happen. So you want to make sure you include OBR and you involve OBR. Rachel will comment about that, right? She has experience with that. So if your child has a case manager that works with them in another system but understands that child's needs, invite that person along. So anybody that works with your child or works with you that you have a relationship with.
Actually, anybody can go to your IEP. If you want that person there, they can go. If that person is going to speak for you better than you can yourself because they know you a little bit better or you feel comfortable talking to them instead of you talking to them, you can bring that person. You can bring your Grandpa Joe. You can bring your Aunt Susie. Whoever you feel comfortable talking to about your transition and think, if you don't feel comfortable yourself speaking to it, they can speak for you in the way that you want them to, that's fine. The youth have their own opinions on who they want to bring in. Just like OBR is important, Grandpa Joe might be the best person to speak for you. And they can bring in anybody you want to bring in. Your best friend, Carrie, whoever you want to bring in that can help you speak and help you get your mind out is who needs to be there.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel has some experience to share, and we're going to give Rachel a few minutes. We aren't likely going to get through the fact patterns. Kelly and I are going to mention just very quickly, if you want to put a note or, you know, we're going to mention to you some of the issues that we were going to raise with you about that fact pattern.
Why don't you read, if you can't find it in your book, it's Tool H, and it's a really great example of a transition plan for a student. That when I found it, it's not written by us. It comes from a website that's at the end of the example. It is a great example of how a team can get together and really think creatively about what to do for a student to really help them in a genuine way make a successful transition. So I think it's just very helpful just to read it, to just get a real-world example of what could be done for a student. And I wonder if you wanted to say, you were going to say something about the importance of employment.
I did. I did want to say that because one of the most important research findings shows that work experience during high school helps get jobs at higher wages after kids with disabilities graduate. So having a job during school is important, and including that type of experience in the transition plan is a good idea. Lastly, I do want to mention that if you have a job after school, that's an important part of your transition plan. So when you're requesting assessments, make sure you're real specific about having observation done at the work site. So the planning and the assessments aren't just about what happens at school. If the student is working outside of school, that observation should happen because it's going to teach you some stuff about what the child, what the student is good at, what they could work on, and so on. And you'll see some of that in the fact pattern.
Great.
Rachel's going to share.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
And I guess we're getting the note that it's 10 minutes until the end of the session. It went so fast. I talked way too much. But if you can, Rachel's going to tell us about her organization. And when she's done, we're happy to take more questions. But while we're doing that, you need to get those surveys out of the binders. And please fill them out or we will all be, Rachel, Gabe, and I will be in trouble. So please do that.
Like they said, I'm Rachel Reimert, and I'm part of Pennsylvania Youth Leadership Network. Currently, we are, I think, have about 16, if not more, youth on our board. We range from age of 16 to 28, and we are all individuals with disabilities. I have a learning disability, more in reading. My spelling, don't ask me to spell anything because it'll be bad. Like they said, I had the IEP in high school. I had the transition kind of stuff in there. And, of course, like they said, my mind changed. I went from wanting to be a teacher to being, okay, I want to be a social worker. Okay, I want to be a probation officer. I can keep those kids in line. And then I went back to being, I was like, oh, I want to be an elementary teacher. Went on to college. I went on to college. And in high school, I got a job at a daycare, being an teacher assistant. And now I in the afternoon I take over the infant room and I'm in care. I provide care for 4 infants in the afternoon. And I kind of found out that I don't want to work in a public school. I don't want to have to deal with that legal stuff and all that jazz. And, okay, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and then you have to teach to this test because that test needs to happen. I didn't want to deal with that stuff. I wanted to deal with the little ones. I found, like, their minds were, if you could be like, oh, my God, there's a bug, they'd be like, oh, my God. And it'd be like everybody would crowd around. I found that interesting, and I found that my mind changed from working in a school, and I went to teach a first-grade classroom, and I was going to be a first-grade teacher and everything like that. It completely changed to being, I want to be a preschool teacher, and I want to teach 3 to 5-year-olds. That's where I started out, and I love them. But now I work with the infants. I love them, too, but it's a little bit nicer when they can tell you what they want. but my board is actually a redo art mission statement. I don't know it off the top of my head. I kind of just give you a blurb. I'll just give you a blurb. I read it. Basically, we want children with students with an IEP or any type of disability to feel empowered with themselves. When they get out in that real world, they know what they want, and to know what they want themselves and actually obtain that. To not just be like, okay, I'll just do this because that's what the teachers are telling me to do. Know what they want and have their goals set and have what they want to happen. We have actually 2 years ago made our own transitional toolkit written. Oh, 1 minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Written by us. Everything is youth-friendly. We have, I have a copy here, but I'll give you the website that we have it, a link on there. It's also a transition healthcare toolkit that we put together that kids with, 5 minutes until, sorry. But people okay. with health problems, they can fill this out. And so then when you go to 18, your parents could say, bye-bye. See you later. You're doing this all on your own. What do you know? I didn't know what to bring to a doctor's office. Do some of the youth know what to bring? You need your emergency card. You need, your insurance card. You need this and this and this. Some of these kids probably don't know what medications they're on. Some kids don't know what doctors they see. They just go because their parents take them. You know what I mean? So that toolkit was kind of in place so that the kids have something to take with them. They'll know what medications because they have to write it down. And then we think that in our toolkit, there is stories from us. There is little activities that they can do. Everything is hands-on. We're actually working on putting movies together and actually filming doing these so that the kids can actually view us doing them. We actually this is very us. We wrote it. I wrote some of this stuff in here. It's all youth-friendly. If I didn't understand it, it wasn't going in here. If I couldn't read it, it wasn't going in here. So we all kind of edit it. If you want the website, it's HTTP. I can write it up here.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Right now we're actually working on, we actually hired somebody to actually make our own website, but that is up in the process. This is more like me. I'm more up and beat, not sitting in a chair. If I don't look and write down at the same time, if I talk, I'll get it wrong.
While Rachel is writing that, just to be sure, high school students, college students, other young adults, please at least fill out the question whether you're a Social Security beneficiary. It's important because the Social Security Administration is funding this conference and would like that information. And this is just for everyone should do one of, but that question is for students, okay, young adults.
Okay. The SR, it's actually a NING, if anybody knows what that is. I had no idea until we actually made one up. We had a PB Wiki, and then we didn't like that one, so then we went to a MING. This actually has some of our movies on. We do a disc talk where actually one of our president, Rachel Cowan, will actually sit down, and one of us will come, and it's like a talk show thing. It's kind of funny. It's very funny, and it's all just about us. We're youth. We're doing it for youth. Why not make it interesting for them? I got started with them, and my world has opened up so much. I had no idea about half of this stuff until I met this group, and actually now as a part of it, they kind of sought me out and was like, you're doing this. So I love speaking in front of kids. I love telling them about us. If you want to know more, I'm most likely going to be here for the meet and greet. If you want to learn more, I actually have business cards. But if you go on that website, it will basically just tell everything about our board. And just see that we actually are just one giant family. Like, half of those people on my board are like brothers and sisters to me. Because, you got a question?
Yeah. Question?
Do you also mentor young people who are trying to find their voice? Mm-hmm. And do you have a chapter in the Philadelphia?
We are now kicking off, actually. We got so big with these toolkits and stuff that we actually have 3 high schools that want to start their own local chapters. I don't know where they all are off the top of my head, but I know I'm going to a kickoff, going down to like Lebanon, like Millersville area for a kickoff. You have no idea where that is?
Philadelphia.
I'm not sure if we have one in Philadelphia, but I mean, we would be more than happy to come out, because actually these high school kids said, if you're one of you guys aren't coming, we're not kicking it off. So they were like, we're not doing it. So we actually are going and helping them kick off the first meeting, be there with them, interact with them. They're actually going to get to send one of their representatives from that local chapter to our meetings. And we get together. We were supposed to have one, but it got canceled because of the funding. We are trying to get to nonprofit. I think that's what it's called. I think we're getting like our
C501(c)(3).
Yeah, that thing. I don't know anything about that. I can't recite
okay.
that
you
at all.
You have a question, Rachel.
You have another question.
My question is actually for the attorneys. In your section 2, page 14, I was concerned about this notes of decision, the IEP compliance where school districts, was that a result that the school districts weren't supplying what they needed to while they were in high school?
Where are you?
On your page 14 in your section, where it says that school districts were required to pay tuition and fees for transitional programs for 1 year after high school.
Where is she? Right. Oh, I think you're looking at the back on voter registration, I think. Is that, am I right about that?
Because that's not transition. It's voter registration.
Well,
page 14.
No. Is your...
Right. Okay.
Page 14 of section 2.
Sorry, can you just I'm having trouble finding it. I think I have a different page number than you do, maybe. But can you just read to us what it is again? If it's the issue, if it's compensatory education.
I'm sorry. She's looking at the Chapter 14 regulations, okay? Glad you found that. At the end, okay, it says notes on decisions. That's just a decision that was somebody, it's a Commonwealth court decision, okay, meaning a parent went to court on that issue, and this just gives you the summary of what the court found, okay?
That's not across the board for all high schools. That was just this particular.
Yes,
that
particular.
This is for that particular student, mm-hmm. correct?
That's right. That's right.
I think since we are clearly out of time, are there any questions?
Okay. There's a 15-minute break between now and lunch, and Gabe and I would be happy, and Rachel maybe too, to ask questions if anybody has them.
Yeah,
but I think, you're officially excused.
Before you run, though, I want to tell you there is a resource table outside, and there is a glossy small brochure that's Disability Rights Network. I really encourage you to take it. It gives you a little bit of an overview about the work we do with all disabilities, you know, with all ages, and it gives you our 800 toll-free number to our legal helpline that you could call anytime and ask questions. So be sure to take one of our brochures, okay? And thank you so much for participating. Thank you.